We're going to pretend it's a bit awkward.
We're going to pretend it's awkward, are we?
Pretend it's awkward.
Yeah, it's actually, it actually goes live. I keep saying that on all the streams, but I'll pretend like no one knows. But
it's like a pretty pre-stuff, you know what I mean? You don't know, but it's out there, you know?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that. Well, hey, we're up and about. Jed, thank you so much. You've been straight out of the pool, mate. You've got a pool in the backyard, done the ice plunge, the cold water plunge. How's that feeling to start the day?
Well, I'm still warming up, a bit cold, but it does get you going each day. So I'm trying to do a little 30-day challenge, just each morning, jump in, have a swim around for a couple of minutes, and then start my day.
What time is that? What time do you normally get up?
About 7-ish normally.
That's all right. That's all right.
And straight in the pool every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bit of brekkie before or after or anything? Like what happened? What's the go?
I'll have brekkie. Normally I'll get my coffee machine fired up and then jump out straight into the coffee, but this morning I'll do this and then I'll have some brekkie and coffee and then probably get me day going.
Hey, I've seen you with the coffee. I've seen you pouring actually coffees behind the counter. Where's that?
Yeah, down at Blank Space in Newtown. Yeah, I got some friends that own a cafe there and they were short of staff during COVID. So I was like, oh, I'm not doing much. So I'll come in and pour some shots for you. That was a bit of fun.
Any good as a barista? Like, are you a good coffee maker? Where do you rate your skills?
I'm definitely getting better. Well, the main barista there, she was a bit flat that the owner had organized a footy player to come in and jump on the machine with her. So at first she was not happy. But then by the end of the day, I won her over and she was like, oh, nah, he actually knows what he's doing. It's all right. He can come in again. So I think that's a tick of approval there.
Well, is that the key to high performance? A good coffee, Jed. what's your order? What do you normally get?
Just a latte for me.
Simple.
Yeah.
No oat or anything like that. Everyone I know now is on the oat lattes or on the oat cappuccinos or whatever.
Nah, just regular milk. Oat's probably the next best other than just your regular milk for me, but stick normal, yeah.
Hey, fun fact, Rob didn't have hot drinks until he was like 22, did you? You're like allergic to hot drinks. It was weird.
I think I had my first coffee like 25.
That's so strange, eh?
And now I can't.
She used to go out on dates, go for milkshakes and that.
I just get a water. I wouldn't even get a drink. I said, no, I'm all good, thanks. Yeah.
You're a weirdo.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Well, at least I'm not grumpy without the coffee this morning like some people. But thanks again, Jed, for jumping on today's topic. For those at home listening or tuning in late or listening on the podcast, wherever you tune in, is around high-performing teams. We'll give a few minutes for people to jump in the stream. If you have any questions for Jed today, drop them in the chat because we'll be taking them throughout the podcast.
There
we go. I got there eventually. And just a big shout out to MYOB. Support this stream. This is the 9th stream or 10th stream they're supporting now. Pumped. If you're new to the pod, 100% live, it's about going deep on one particular topic to give you tips, tricks, and advice you can apply back to your own lives, your own business. As we said, today's topic is high-performing teams. So if you have any questions, drop them in and we'll make it happen.
It's good, isn't it? You're very good at modding the chat too. So, Jed, sometimes his eyes will just go from the screen, but he's actually looking at the questions. He's trying to, like, you know, think about it beforehand, aren't you? You're trying to articulate in your head before you deliver it, aren't you?
Sometimes.
Yeah, you're good at that, though. You're a good mod.
Yeah.
That's a tough gig. I've tried to do that, and I'm like, I can't multitask, bro. I'm just horrible.
Well, I had you on more often, Jed, because you're saying nice things about me. Yeah. I like it. It doesn't happen very often. But mate, let's get into it then. Let's go back, rewind back. Did you always think that you're going to play footy?
Not really. I just kind of played footy because I loved it. Loved playing with my mates. And then I actually did a bit of athletics in the summer. So I do footy winter, athletics and mainly pole vault in the summer. And then I got to 16, 17 and kind of had to make a choice which way I wanted to go. And then I think I just liked the team aspect of playing with my mates and being in that team environment rather than with pole vault, you're pretty much on your own. So footy won out and it's turned out pretty well since.
Well, your old man played, so it's not like, you know what I mean? It's not that you were always going to be fucking good, eh? Because you were around the club as a youngster and stuff. Is it something about being around the group of people where you're just like they're going towards that goal, all working together? Was it ever since you were a kid in the change rooms looking at that?
Yeah, it was probably to start hearing Dad talk about all the good times he had through football. That was probably something that drove me a fair bit. But then, yeah, like as you said, you're all working towards that common goal of winning a flag. It's probably a bit different when you first get to the club. You just want to play a game and you're a bit selfish in a way because you want to look after yourself. But then once you kind of get that, then you start thinking more about the team and you, the big picture stuff and actually winning the flag and having that team success. So it does change throughout the journey. But, yeah, as you kind of get into the second part of your career, I think you're just hell-bent on that team success.
And you recently knocked up a personal milestone. I know we get some of the team stuff today, but number of games played, that must be a cool thing for you to, like, have a milestone like that as a player reflecting back on a career.
Yeah. Like I said, it was to play one game would have been amazing. And then you play one, then like 10 would be great. And then you thought, oh, 50's in sight, 100. And then, yeah, at the moment, just ticked over 150. So way more than I ever expected I would play. But, yeah, it's exciting. And it does go pretty quick too. That's the other thing. This is my 13th year in the system. Doesn't seem like it's been that long, but
Does that blow your mind? Like 13 years, like some people, like average career tenure is what, like a couple of years that people get. And to hear, like reflecting back now and go, all right, I've played in a flag. I've had been on a list for 13 years. I'm still playing. I've played 150 games. Like as someone who thought they were going to do ats, you know, like that's, looking back, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is when you kind of do sit down and look at how far the journey's come, it is crazy. But it just goes so quick. Older players, when you first get to the club, they always tell you, you know, it'll go quicker than you think. And you're like, yeah, whatever, you know, you're an old bloke. But now I'm that old bloke telling the young guys that, and it's just happened so quick. I know we're doing some team bonding stuff, and I was just paired up with one of the young guys. This is a couple of years ago, and he said he was born in the 2000s. And I'm like, far out. Like, that was when I kind of realised, oh, shit, nah, I'm getting on a bit here. Like, this kid, he's a little boy. But it's,
I love that. What about you? What about you, like, cracking into the team, you know, at the start of your journey and obviously having premiership success last year? Like, that must be so fucking awesome. Like, that's the pinnacle. That's the goal. But young players coming through and seeing team success like that and going, oh, I want a bit of that. Like you were saying, when you first come in, it's maybe about you just trying to get in. But when you win a flag and that sort of have that success, does it sort of, you can see it in the young players now, like, oh, it's all about like all of us.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think, and it took me a few years to get into the team. And it was funny because when I first got to the club, they just won 2011 flag. So I had kind of a little taste of that success kind of on the back end of it. So it was exciting to be like, I know I'm probably not going to be a regular straight away, but, you know, geez, I want to get into that team and be a regular and see that success that that those older guys got to do when I first got there. So hopefully, I guess, that what we've done last year is we've shown that the premierships that you win, it's just so worth it when you do get there, because, you know, there's lots of ups and downs in footy. There's probably more downs than ups, but when you do actually win that flag, it is all worth it, and it's just so much fun to do it with a good, you know, bunch of guys. So hopefully those guys that are, you know, on the edge or just got to the club, they're like, all right, you know, let's do this, let's do it again, because it is all worth it.
Did you get the ankle tattoos? Did you get the premiership? Nah. Is that the go now? Or back in the day it was, wasn't it?
We've got a group chat that a few ideas were thrown out in that. We're actually getting our premiership rings Thursday.
So we picked that.
Yeah, so
I wear mine all the time.
You know? I reckon you'd wear it like a necklace, Rob, around it on the outside, like Kevin Murray style.
Just so everyone can see it all the time. But hey, let's go back to like first year in the system, coming straight off that 2011 flag. One of the things from an outsider looking in is perception seems to be reality. And you guys at Geelong have had a sustained period of being good and having that high standards. And as today's topic, high performing teams, what existed when you first stepped into the club? Was it noticeably different, or because you had that family ties, you sort of been around Geelong, you sort of knew what they were all about?
I actually had no idea kind of going in. It was a bit of a shock. I guess Geelong Falcons, I played locally with them. They kind of get you ready in a way, but it's just so different when you get to an AFL club. The drive that the older guys have, they want us to be better to make them better. So it starts, I guess, from those guys pushing you each training session just to be better, because intern at Max Ember. So I guess that's something we do at the moment. We're trying to make those younger guys care and improve quickly, because we need them to get better to make us better. And eventually they're going to take our spot and carry the club forward, and hopefully they can do that for the next generation. So I think that was a big one that they had. The older guys really drove that. And then they also have at Geelong, they've probably got it most clubs, an academy group, which is your first to 4 years. And they do your extra skills, extra game plan stuff. So they'll have their own meetings where they're kind of feeding more information, stuff that the older guys, you've kind of heard a million times, so you don't need to hear it. But those younger guys, we need them to know the game plan inside and out, because when they get their chance, we want them to know what they're doing. So I think those two things. But mainly that academy group that they have, it's so important in fast-tracking their development.
We were saying off air before about the differences between, I guess, the flexibility that Geelong allows some of its players compared to some of the other clubs. I think from when we're discussing out what attracts people to go and play at a club like that, and why
work at a place like
even,
that, yeah.
Even like, I think it's like different rules for different people. Like, so because you guys have had that period of sustained being good for a while, and you have standards, you understand the expectations, you have the runs on the board, then comes better working conditions. You know, if I'm a worker at a corporate environment, like, you can't get the flexibility and all the good stuff if you're performing like crap.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we did it well. There's a few years where Scotty was probably testing us. Looking back, he gave us a little leg rope, and we nailed it. So even with the COVID year, they pretty much sent us away, and we didn't have a formal program for a little bit. And then they introduced some light training, but everyone came back in amazing shape. And he goes, "All right, well, you guys have got my trust now. Like, we know that we can trust you. So if there's ever spots in the schedule where they feel like they want to give us a day off, they don't hesitate to do it. They'll just give us a day off here and there." I was saying earlier that we're actually not in the club very often, because we go in, we work super hard when we're there, but then Scotty's like, "Get out, you know, go off and do the things you love, whether it's you want to go study, work experience, if you just want to go play golf, surf, whatever it be, go and enjoy your life and set yourself up off field, because that in turn helps you on field." So they've got a really good program. And I think it's funny, because when players come in from other clubs, they don't kind of believe it until they get here. They're like, "Oh no, like this, you know, this is real." So it's about us returning the faith. So we need to do the work when we can, but when we do the work, you get the reward. So it is nice.
I was going to mention trust. That's a big one, isn't it? That's the biggest thing, isn't it? And like, if you can do that, that's so important, isn't it? Like, have you ever dealt with anything like that, or been in a situation like that where you've worked anywhere like that? We've been given that kind of leg rope.
I don't think it's a hard comparison, because we work in the corporate stuff, and I don't think there's a lot of people that talk about high performing teams and high performing environments and all that sort of stuff. But there's a very big difference between just being at a team and a team that is in a high performing environment. And like, I guess, what are some of the drivers or like self motivators of the players that they have to be in order to be in that environment? Because it's pretty easy if someone's giving you a day off and you're not really being accountable or self-disciplined enough that you could just say, "Fuck it, I'm just going to do whatever I want." I'm sure that if you're at another club at the moment or in another work environment that may not have that same level of being like self-accountable, it might not always work. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the people you've got like at the club for us. So like a Tom Stewart, for example, you'll – on the days off or whenever it is, when I've got downtime, you know, he'll still be going into the heat room or doing extra touch or doing those little things. So even though you're not, I guess, scheduled to do certain things, that's sometimes when you see those guys still doing the extras and you're like, "Oh, okay, so it's a day off, but he's still in there doing those things." It kind of makes you think, "Oh, no, this is a professional guy who is not necessarily being told to do it, but he's still going and doing it." So when you get guys like that, and a lot of the older guys are like that, the younger guys kind of see that and they're like, "Oh, alrighty, okay." So it's not all, you know, just go off and do whatever you want. There are times where you need to work hard, and do those extras because that's what it takes to make it. So, but then I guess everyone's in footy. It's quite easy because everyone wants to win a premiership, and very lucky at Geelong that we are in good shape each year to contend for a flag. So everyone's always being very competitive. It'd be a lot different if you were down the bottom of the ladder and you weren't kind of challenging. That's when it probably becomes more a bit about yourself and getting yourself games and looking after your own backyard. Whereas because we are a good chance each year to win the flag, everyone's kind of pushing each other. So it makes it a real competitive environment, I feel.
Is it still a tricky scenario to deal with? Like, so people on end of contracts or people on shorter term deals or people coming to end of careers? Like, I know people like...
everyone's different.
Everyone's in different situations, but trying to bring them all together towards a common goal. And footy, like you said, it's the premiership. It's pretty easy. It's that's the thing that everyone plays footy for, but it's not all... Like, the key goal is always different in different environments if this is outside a footy perspective. Is it hard trying to wrangle people in that are all driven by different motivations?
Yeah, I think it would be. I guess that's the job of Scotty leading the ship. He speaks very well. He's always got different angles he's kind of coming in. We had Ricky Gervais come in and have a chat that was last year, actually. So Scotty brings in these different, approaches to kind of motivate different guys, because if you've been there forever and it's, I don't want to say myself, but 13 years is a long time, but it can get repetitive sometimes, the stuff you're going through. So it's important to keep things, I guess, fresh and new, and which can be hard in footy because you're playing the same game every time. So it's always going to be the same messages, but it's how you can kind of convey those and make it a bit more interesting. So I think Scotty does a great job of that. But yeah, it would be tough to have messages for the guy playing his first game versus the guy playing his 300th game. So I think the coaches do a great job of keeping it fresh for the old guys, and the new guys are actually pretty easy because it's all new and it's exciting. So the young guys are actually quite easy. It's more the older guys motivating them.
What about when you played your first game or whatever and Benny Cousins sent you that text? I know we've said it on the pod maybe before, but you want to explain that? Because that was...
It was funny at the time. So my first year at Richmond, which was 2010, they just coming second last in the ladder. It was Damien Hardwick's first year as coach. They had the massive list turnover. So I was one of, like, I think 14 or 15 new people on the list that year, which was end up being the core group that went on to win the flags, which is... It's cool to be, like, reflecting back now, like being there at the early stage of seeing it, from having possums run around the change rooms taking shits on the thing because the rooms
were in fucked. Your bag on it
in the rooms,
just in your bag,
not in my bag. The rooms were fucked. Like, the facilities were trash. They didn't have any members. They would come like, and then now obviously see them push forward and win the flag. But it was funny because at the time when I played my first game, which I can imagine they've changed how that playing group operated, especially with younger people now, because that's a different team. But well, after my first game, the only person really to text me was Ben Cousins. And at the time, he'd been through his own sort of stuff. He'd been in and out of hospital of some whatever else he'd been going through. But for me, like, he'd been at the West Coast culture, which had that success. And he understood the importance of, like, the older guys giving back to the younger guys. And for me, that was the one thing that stood out for me. Like, he didn't have to text me. He's like 33 at the time. He'd legend of the game. He was
going through all this.
Going through plenty of life stuff. But the fact that he sent me a text after the game just to say, like, hey, great to play on the G today with you. Love your work, Cuz. Keep it up or whatever. And for me, like, I played three games, so that one memory for me is going to stick out for me for a long, long time. And it's not just about, like, the older guys doing something. But again, I think for me, it's about identity and belonging, like sense of belonging. And I feel like Geelong as a club seem to be really good at getting their young kids and giving them, like, the freedom to be themselves. Like, there's a reason they got there. Is that a fair summation of what goes on?
Yeah, definitely. I think even at Geelong, that's changed since I've been there. Like, it's much more, I guess, well, we're inclusive and we do celebrate those young guys, because you got to remember when you first started how much, like, you're just shitting yourself most of the time. You're, like, not sure what to do, what to say, where to run, how to play. So when you do get someone senior that messages you or you know, it's a coach, whoever it is that, you know, pats you on the back, it is actually quite nice, and you do feel wanted and loved. So I think that's, at the end of the day, you just want to, you want to be a part of the team, feel a part of it, and feel like everyone wants you to be there. So when you do get those texts, it's bloody awesome, especially from like someone like Cousins. Like that's massive.
Yeah, it was sort of a mind.
And you become his big, hey, no one's saying a bad word about me, mate.
Hey, let's get into like a game day prep, or what goes into a week of getting the team ready to perform.
So I can go through this week. It's a bit of a short turnaround for us, a 6-dayer. So the day off after a game the day after is always a day off. They just let you sleep in, recover up. So that was Sunday for us. Monday we went in and just did our game review, bit of a jog around, pretty cruisy. That was only there for a couple of hours. Had to do a school visit yesterday. I was covering for Isaac Smith because something come up and he had to pull out. So he owes me. Today's a day off. And then tomorrow we'll have our main session, which is not a really big session. It's probably maybe 4K of running around. So pretty light, some gym, maybe a team meeting. Not too much involved tomorrow, even though it is our main day. That would be Thursday's a day off, we play Friday. So Thursday's a captain's run, bit of run around again, pretty light, and then into game day. So the 6 day is a bit different. They, lucky with us, like I said, they give us an extra day off where they don't really have to, but they just prefer us to go away and recover up and feel good going into a game. On a normal 7 day break or 8 day break, we'd have like an extra skill session. So not much different, but yeah, I like the in-season training or weekly schedule because it's just all about recovery and feeling good. Whereas pre-season is just about hurting and running. So much prefer the in-season schedule for sure.
Do you watch other games? Like I'm a footy nuffy. For me to relax, I watch wrestling and I watch footy and I watch cricket. Are you someone after you play or before a game, like a Friday night, if you're playing Sunday, would you watch that game? Do you try and watch most games or do you try and just switch off?
I probably switch off. I try and leave the footy club and kind of forget about footy to a certain extent. If footy's on the TV, I'll watch it, but I don't kind of look for the games and chuck them all on and watch them. So I think I watch enough of the footy stuff at work. So when I get home, I like to watch different stuff.
Like going through edits and that, Robbie used to just go through all his own highlights.
No. Do you watch much footage? Like when you're prepping, obviously if you're playing against other people, like are you watching their stuff as part of your own personal preparation?
Yeah. So last week I played on Rankin. So the coach come and said, I'll be going to him. So I was like, perfect. Jumped on the computer, looked at a few of his games and just picked out different things and tried to work out what he does to play well and just how I can counter it. So
he's got a big bag of tricks, Rankin.
Yeah no he does. It was he's actually one that I get a bit nervous playing on because they do have those tricks. He's not I guess a boring footballer, so you're like, you've always got to be on your toes.
I love
is your body sore after 13 years? You know, like doing what you do when you say before it gets repetitive,
like the calluses
and getting built them, and getting up. Know? Like, is it your routine change to get up for a game now as you got further into your career?
I'd be more relaxed now. I used to be a bit of a stress head when I was younger, so I'd try and worry about. I'd just worry about everything. Whereas now I'm a lot calmer, and I guess I've done it for a while, so I know what to expect. Which helps, but I'd say the last probably 5 years I've enjoyed it a lot more. There was a middle period where I was, to be honest, I was hating it, but I got through that, and it's definitely been worth it because since I got through that kind of tough period, it's just each year's just gotten better and better. So it's not all fun and games, but yeah, when you do get through the tough times, it does get easier.
What about when the pressure's on, it's finals time? You guys are always in the finals, but going up, I'm sure the anxiety, it sort of lifts a little bit. There's a lot more eyes on, or doesn't it? Is it? I know everyone just says it's another game, but it's not really, is it? It's like the grand final, the prelim, like the night before, and like the pressure to perform, and just like obviously everyone wants to do well. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think for me, I got good at I'd let myself get nervous on the day. So I always kind of gave myself an hour window on the game day to get nervous. So mentally, I'd just be like, that's the time I'll get nervous. I don't need to get nervous before then. It seemed to work. Sounds stupid, but it worked for me. I would always just, I'd sleep amazing. Wouldn't even really think about the game. And then, to be honest, I'd get to that hour that I'd set aside to be nervous, and I wouldn't even be that nervous because it's already game day and I'm already, you know, halfway through the day, and it's before you know it, the game's already there. Another nervous time, though, that you can't really avoid is just that time before the game. We have to hand our phones in, so there's no real distractions. And then running out on those big games, especially at the G, that's when, you know, when you first come out of the race and you hear the big roar, that's probably one of the best feelings in footy when you go run out to the ground. So those little bits of, I guess there's times where you can get nervous, but for me, I just kind of in my mind just say, nah, I've got a time to be nervous. So the rest of the time I can just enjoy myself.
What about like staying in the zone in those pressure moments for people who, I guess we're talking about high performing teams, to execute at a high level on say grand final day and like do the game plan you've been training for? Is there anything different that goes into the execution as the pressure goes up?
It's probably just, I guess, because hopefully you've been in that situation before. Certainly when you've been playing it for a few years, you would have had that experience. So I guess you draw back on being in this situation before. Sometimes you haven't been in the pressure situation before, but the terms of what you're doing in the game at the time, you've done it before, you know, a million times of training, another game. So I think if you just draw back on that, you've done it before. Hopefully you've done the work in the week first. So you know that you can do it. And then it's just about, I guess, staying in that moment and not making it too big, because if you make it bigger, you become smaller. So just acknowledging that it is a big moment, but then just focus on that task and just get that task done. That's what I try and do. Sometimes you do get overwhelmed at times, and it's just about, I guess, bringing it back and just calming yourself down and reminding yourself that if it is, it's, you know, it's just a game. So you've done it before, you've been here before, you've done it, and then just go and execute. So just, I guess, focus on that task, what you need to do. And for me, it's a bit easier, you know, I'm a defender, so I can just go and try and defend my man. So it's a simple one. Just try and stop him. But I guess each player would have their own little cues that they want to fall back on.
What about momentum in a game? Like, you can feel the pressure go up. They might have kicked a few goals. Are you all sort of looking at each other like, hey, we need to sort of turn it on here? Like, how do you get that sort of momentum back? Like, you might be, say, losing a few one-on-one battles or stuff like that.
Yeah. Or even the season, you guys started 0-3, had the media saying that you guys were done, you know, and
peaking round one.
Now to be on a roll and really just saying, hey, guys, I haven't seen that many articles the last few weeks now that you're 5 wins in a row.
I guess in-game, it's just about normally when the other team has momentum, they've just got the footy. They've got the footy and you don't. So it comes back to just getting the footy. And then for us as defenders, we just like to kind of find the mark and just, you know, take a breath. So in-game, it's easier said than done, but it's win the footy back and then just get the game back on your terms, which is the modern battle now of footy. It's just getting the game on your terms. And in terms of the season, yeah, we didn't start great. The first two games, we felt like we actually weren't playing too bad, and the result just didn't quite reflect on how well we thought we played. The Gold Coast game, that was a bad one. But I think it was just, well, Scotty's message was just stick with it. Like, we're not going that bad. And he even showed edits of, like, the Collingwood round one. We were up, I don't know, maybe it was 20 points, and it was, you know, nearly three-quarter time. So he goes, we're not going that bad. So don't stress. It's, you know, things are going to turn. And, you know, lucky enough they did. So we're, we're going all right at the moment, which is nice, but it's also not resting on your laurels and just accepting that, you know, if we've won five now, that we're going to win the next five. It's, let's just look at next week. We got, you know, Richmond this week, even though that they haven't been going that well. We know how dangerous they can be. So it's just concentrate on this, the next moment, I guess.
Hey, what do you do to switch off footy? You mentioned before off air that you're studying. Can you go into a bit more about, like,
he's a businessman.
Yeah. What you're interested in.
Well, I'm doing a share trading course at the moment, which does take up a bit of my brain power. There's lots of numbers and graphs and stuff at the moment. So I'm just ticking away at that. What else do I do? I do love my coffee, as we spoke about. I've got a dog that keeps me on my toes. I am building a new place at the moment in Fineston in Geelong. So that's also, not that I'm doing much, but I'd like to drive past it every now and then and have a little look, see how they're going.
Fingers.
I like that. I'd have the King G shorts on, a few hammers down the pants. Just have a look.
Just pretend, yeah.
Just pretend, yeah.
That's what you did when you built your house, didn't you? You turned up in the hard hat, everyone was like, "What are you actually doing?"
The landscaping isn't even done yet, and I've got like everyone's like housewarming gifts got me like a wheelbarrow, a shovel, and like gum boots and shit. And
they're really like poking him with some problems. Like, can you get out and do some manual labor just once in your life?
See, Jed's a real man. You know what I mean? I feel like he's got them calluses on his hands. He can do all that sort of stuff for me. It's just I'm looking at that going, this is a big problem.
How do I solve that by typing on the keyboard? You
know? Ask ChatGPT how to fix it.
Hey, you'd be surprised, Jed. We do a lot of ChatGPT for our podcast, don't we? It's a lot of research. It's a lot of stuff.
Sometimes it takes the thinking out of it. You know, it's just good. What about some inspirations from other sports? Do you follow other sports either here or abroad?
I love the UFC. Do I draw inspiration? Yeah, I draw inspiration from I guess, the resilience side of MMA, because they're getting punched in the head and they've got to keep walking forward. So not that we're getting punched in footy, but, you know, things getting thrown at you that aren't ideal and you've just got to keep stepping up, keep getting up, step up. So I think I like that side of MMA, the resilience that those guys have. And yeah, not maybe.
Do you ever do one of those celebrity fights post footy? You know what I mean? Jed Buse.
Oh, I saw Tom Bell Chambers. Yeah,
Tom Bell Chambers, Cam Mooney are doing that.
Yeah, I'm no good at boxing. BJJ, I've done a little bit of that. So if I got him on the ground, it'd be a bit different. But I think I'll just be relaxing when I finish footy.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I feel like I've seen that one in Torquay near Carrasco or whatever. No, another one in the other one. Bone sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I wouldn't mind just getting a bit of discipline in my life. You know, like just like I felt like our friend Hamish. You know what I mean? Yeah, I need to whip myself a little bit.
Please keep me accountable.
Yeah, because I'm a bit of a pig. I'm a bit of a glutton.
You train a bit that over on the off season though, don't you?
A little bit. Yeah, we've done stuff with John Will, who's he's a machine. He's part of the Dirty Dozen, I believe it is. One of the first white guys to become black belt BJJ. So he's a machine. So we've done a bit of stuff with him. Myself and Mark Blitzell's done a little bit, which is it's interesting wrestling Blitz too, because he's so big and long and I'm just short and fat. So it's like, it's an interesting combination watching us two go at it.
What about like physical health? I know like you guys got like lots of medical people around you and stuff, but high performance and sustaining that, like making sure that your body's right and stuff, like how much goes into that?
Yeah, a fair bit. We've got like you said, we've got fitness guys and dietitians and doctors and all that. But I think that's another thing that Geelong are good at. They don't force, maybe they're running, they do, you know, that fitness stuff, you got to do that, unfortunately. But they don't force everyone to eat certain things or do certain things. They've got a dietitian there that, you know, if you're a bit bigger or a bit smaller and you want to put on weight or lose weight, whatever it is, then you can go and chat to her and work through a program. But, yeah, they kind of leave it up to the individual. Scotty always tells us how, like, we're professional athletes and the coaches and the club are there for us. So he just kind of leaves it a bit up to us as to how we want to become better footballers. So, for me, it's at the moment I'm doing a few heat room sessions just to drop a couple of kilos because the scales, I thought they were broken. It turns out it's getting a bit heavier. So I'm just doing that once a week just to kind of lose a bit of weight. But, yeah, for other guys, it'll be doing extra weight sessions and putting on weight. So it's all individual.
He sounds like the cool teacher at school. You just don't want to let him down. And it's like destiny's in your hands. If you say you want it and you want to do that and you're doing the right things and I can see it, then it'll happen, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what he says. He goes, it's your career. It's up to you. It's if you want to make it, you will. We've got all the resources for you, but it's got to come from the player a bit. You can't, if someone's just telling you to do something, eventually you're like, I'm hating it, rather than here's all the tools. There's the goal, let's get there together. So yeah, it's a good little system that we've got going.
All right. Besides the granny, have you got a favorite career moment?
Probably my first game. Played on Hayden Ballantyne as a it was my first game.
He could play too.
Oh, that's a baptism of fire, isn't it?
Yeah, that was when he was going real well too. I was like, what am I doing here? But it was good fun. I remember getting absolutely sprayed by the Fremantle crowd, so that was interesting too.
Was it in Geelong or over in Freo?
It was over in Freo. I remember it was Pavlich's 250th or 300. And I just bumped him kind of off the ball a little bit. And geez, the crowd just let me know, who are you? And you shouldn't know who I am.
It's pretty weird though. Like you go to work and people can like just straight up, I know people with social media, you can get instant feedback, but like that's really instant feedback around like you're doing your job. I know it's sport and stuff, but people actually be like, you suck, you're shit, like blah, blah, blah. Dealing with all that pressure as well. Cause you can clearly hear some stuff. I know in the moment, sometimes you can't, but like, surely there's some words that get thrown around. You're like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, like that bloke saying, who are you 24? And I'm like, well, no one. But you do hear stuff and look, most of the time it doesn't really faze me. I know I've seen players, teammates bite back a little bit. And it's actually funny to see the spectators act shocked or they are shocked that players bite back sometimes. It's like, what do you expect? Like, he sucks. So of course he's going to turn around and tell you what he thinks of you.
I'm going to start heckling you, Locke, I reckon. When you're there pumping out on your keyboard thing, I just start spraying. You're not typing fast.
When you're doing your keyboard thing.
When you're doing your keyboard thing.
Very vague.
You're a great keyboard warrior. Hey, Jed, thank you so much for jumping on today and getting up early. Special thanks to MYOB who supported the stream as we go again. And if you listen to this later on and you have any things you want to add, sign to our DMs because I feel like this has been a crazy chat for people who want to have insights and what it takes to be the best of the best. So thanks again for taking the time to spend with us, Jed.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.